Over to our brother, that he would be mindful of those things in which he would be able to bring to our attention, that we can apply them to ourselves and to be a help to us in our lives. So I would ask that you would give your attention to our brother Harold Pollock as he speaks to us this morning. Brother Harold.
You know, I've heard this song before with your saying. Like many things, there are times when it means more to you than does others. I think at times you're more receptive to that spirit that comes from God that makes all things understanding to us and gives us the more understanding. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is here. But you know, it can be in the room among us and touch one much more than the other. But I pray this morning that the Lord will touch me with His Spirit to the extent that I can bring to you something that will cause us to want to better serve the Lord, for our service, from it we hope to gain our soul salvation. It's that which we live for, that we look for, too. Yes, there are times that we deviate, that we step aside, that things of this world, things for our livelihood, become more important to us. And so we step aside. I'm going to read you two verses of another psalm before I start. Praise ye the Lord, 'tis good to raise your hearts and voices in His praise. His nature and His works unite to make this duty your delight. His saints are lovely in His sight. He views his children with delight. He sees their hope. He knows their fear and looks and loves his image here when we are his image. I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi, chapter 13. I want to read one verse, the 47th. For whoso receiveth not the words of Jesus, and the words of those whom he hath sent, receiveth not him, and therefore he will not receive them at the last day, and it would be better for them if they had not been born. But we have been born. We have life. So there are just laws that we must obey. Oh, the laws of the land, yes, so we don't get in trouble. What is it said that if we obey the laws of God, we will not disobey the laws of the land. In other words, in living the laws of God, we can be righteous. As I say, we have been born. We who are in this room now know much of the gospel. Some probably more than others. Some have a greater understanding. But each understanding that we do have a conscience. And we know when we are obeying those laws and when we are not. The laws are not cruel. They are given in love. They are just. And remember, they will never be done away with. I want to read a little from 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. I want to read just the 16th verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we are told the way. We are told the way to that salvation that we look forward to. We'll turn to Alma's 16th chapter. I want to do a little reading. You probably have heard of some of the scripture before, have listened to it. You probably read it quite a bit yourself. Elman speaking is giving this advice. Yea, humble yourselves. Remember, we are looking forward to salvation of our souls. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him, unto the Lord, Cry unto him when you are in your fields. Well, there aren't too many of us here that are in fields. What are we about other work? Yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him against the power of your enemies. But be very careful that they are your enemies. For with what judgment you use to judge that person whom you believe is your enemy, with that same judgment you will be judged. We know that if this is the works of Satan, if that is our enemy, then we cannot judge too harshly. But remember to always pray. I've thought in many times in the different works that I've done in my life for a livelihood, there were many times that I could, the work I was doing, I did just automatically. You didn't have to concentrate on it. And I loved that time because you could have a prayer in your mind. You could talk with the Lord. And your work continued. Those times were great blessings. There's many of us who, now the work that we have, we do have to concentrate on, and haven't the time to think, let our mind dwell on the Lord. But there's one thing we can do. We can live our lives in such a way that from our heart is that desire. And the Lord knows our very thoughts, our minds, He knows our hearts. We say we should live in such a way that we make practice, a habit. It's good in a way. But don't make a habit of serving the Lord or calling upon Him or praying to Him if it isn't sincere. Not just, Lord, help me do this or something like that. You're not concentrating. Let the desire come from here. Not just words. Cry unto him over your crops, of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places. Those are the times I believe that the Lord hears and answers. Those are the times you can concentrate. Those are the times that those prayers come from the heart, from your very soul. Those are the times that the Lord touches you with His Spirit. The time to stop praying because of His blessings. I mean, you stop with words, but it's still in your heart. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. We come to church gather together. We're thoughtful of each other. Many times we ask prayers for the benefit of each other, that the Lord will bless them. And I know I'm lax in this very much myself, but many times we think of others in the world. We forget of those others in the world. We don't ask for them. And I think one of the most sincere prayers there can be is praying for somebody who may be your enemy, who has used you roughly, who is ridiculed, who has hurt you in some way, very deeply. The first thing that happens is anger. It is hard, it's terribly hard, I know. To ask the Lord to take away that anger. Sometimes it takes a little bit. And then because you realize that you have done wrong by thinking ill of this person, you are blessed then with that spirit that can give you comfort and peace. Now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain. If it can't come from the heart, if it's just words, you might as well not offer that prayer. I've started out at times offering a prayer that wasn't sincere because it just seemed that I couldn't. But if you desire to pray and continue in that prayer, the Lord will bless you. He will bless you that prayer can become sincere and from the heart. All kinds of little troubles and trials we run into. We're all human. We don't tell each other of those little trials we have. We hate to have each other know that we're so weak. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt that you were very weak and there was problems that you had and you didn't want to tell anyone about it because you didn't want them to know that you had problems like this, that you were this weak? And then have somebody reach out their hand to you and put their arm around you and tell you that they understood. What a wonderful blessing. He continues, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain and availeth you nothing, and ye are as hypocrites who do deny the faith. You haven't spoken it. You haven't said, Lord, I don't believe you. I don't believe the gospel. You haven't said that. But by your actions, by your feelings, you have denied the Lord. You've denied your faith in the Lord. Therefore, if ye do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth. and is trodden under foot of men. When you see the words or hear the word charitable or charity, even we, because of being associated in the world, because of the many things that you see from day to day, we think of giving of substance to someone. But what more wonderful if you can give, as I spoke of a minute ago, someone reaches out to you and says, I understand. If they give their love, their feeling, their understanding, and that spirit is there that tells you that they do understand, what greater things can you give? If the Lord could be present, please, just think. If this was the time the Lord could be present here, would we still be so quiet? Possibly. But wouldn't there be outgoing? Wouldn't we all feel as one? There would be no wanting to hide except from Him, but not from each other because of that spirit that prevailed. The love, the joy in serving God, in serving Christ, brings so much to us, gives us the strength that we might continue on. I'm going to pass over a few verses. The 229th verse. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. Now, that would sound like I'm talking to people that doesn't know the gospel, wouldn't it? That haven't repented and been baptized. Do any of us in this room need to repent of that which we are doing or that which we are not doing? I do, continuously. And we're not told that we won't always have something to repent of. But we're told not to procrastinate that day. When you realize that you have this to repent of, that is the time to repent. That is the time to try to put it out of our lives. For after this day of life, which is given to us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. He cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. Don't wait till tomorrow. A couple hours from now. I'd like to continue reading some in Mosiah. This is the second chapter. I want to read several of verses. First, the 16th and 17th one. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he will forgive you. And now, If you believe all these things, see that you do them. We profess to believe the gospel. We can't say, I don't believe that I believe it in its entirety, because I don't believe that I ever will understand the gospel entirely. But I will understand it enough to be judged by what I know. I think there will always be questions in our mind as to the meaning of this or that scripture. But that we don't know, one can't seem to find out through prayer or however it might be, we will not be held accountable for. We must live to the fullness of our understanding. I'm going to go to the 21st verse now. And humble yourselves even in the depth of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. Here we are told that we will grow in that knowledge. But we must humble ourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on his name daily. And standing steadfast in the faith that we do know and understand. And then we will always be able to retain a remission of that sin that we daily commit. Sometimes not knowingly, then we realize that we did not honestly know it when we did. But yet that feeling of sorrow comes to us. We're made aware of it. Even if we didn't consciously do it, we're made aware of it. And then can come that humility, that seeking of forgiveness. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. The 43rd verse. I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, and as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. My thought in using this is not so much temporally, although that should be a part of our lives. We know what it tells us in the Bible and the Scriptures, that if we have to give, if we have not, our desire in our heart is that we wish we could give. But again, use good judgment. I've got some extra, but I'm not going to give it where it's needed. Remember, there must be a need. We, in this world, you know, you find all kinds of con men, all kinds of people that will appear to have a need when it isn't there. But if you don't know it isn't there, then you must do something about it. But if you have knowledge that it isn't a need, then I would withhold to give to those who were in need. But in bringing this scripture, I want to speak particularly of the spiritual things. visiting the sick and administering to their relief. Visiting the sick, administering to their relief, their spiritual relief. Sometimes it's physical, yes, but it's not the physical part of hunger for food. There's a need to talk, to visit. There's a need for counsel, for understanding, for sharing your trials, your troubles. Many times, you know, just by talking about your trials and troubles, oh, I don't mean consistently like some people, and I've been guilty of this some myself in the past, ready to tell my trials and troubles to most anyone. I don't mean that. Because when you hear them over and over, you want to turn it off. And maybe it's not wise to turn it off. So we each should be reasonable and use good common sense in our visiting with each other. And where there's a need, try our very best to supply that need. Oh, there's so many needs, so many. We read and see a lot lately of the starving in Africa. It is pitiful. It is tears your heart. Yet they'll pass away from the hunger, yes. But they're not dying a spiritual death. Their need, as well as food, is the spirit that they're lacking. Their knowledge of the gospel. For I'm judging now. I'm just thinking myself that probably there isn't too many of them that know the gospel. There may be some. But that is the part that we should administer to. Not those in particular, but to everyone, where we can see it. The 49th verse says, "But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves, and your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish." We're all going to perish physically. Well, I say we're all. Those who continue to live and see the coming of Christ may not pass through what we call death now. But yet there'll be a change. I used to think when I was much younger about getting old. The idea of getting old, I rather feared it. The trials and troubles and the aches and pains and all that a person would have. Well, I'm getting a little bit old. I've had some aches and pains. But there isn't a day but what I thank God that I have the health and strength that I have. You see, it could be much, much worse. So much worse. Yet, when you are old, there isn't less striving to keep the Word of God, but you have a feeling that it isn't going to be so long yet. There won't be so many years that you're going to have to strive. And then comes the thought, will I want to strive? Because in striving, you're going to lay up that crown for yourself. I want to read from Titus, second chapter, two verses, the 13th and 14th. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Everyone could be that peculiar people if they so desired. But Christ gave himself that he might redeem us from that iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This zealousness, from the time you know the gospel, from the time you have some understanding of it and start working and living in it, you should be zealous then for a greater knowledge, but not just a greater knowledge, what you can do with that greater knowledge. What good you can do with it. Remember, the talents, if you don't use them, they'll be taken from you. You will lose them. And the best time to use a talent is when you find that you have it. Use it. And don't let it get rusty. Don't leave it lay for a while. Continue to use it. Moroni, the 7th chapter. I'm going to start at the 5th verse. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. He cannot do that which is good. If you have evil in your heart or an evil thought, that which you do won't be good. If you can take that evil thought from yourself, then you can offer your gift, and it will be accepted as good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. Again, let's not be, what's the expression, wishy-washy in what we do. Let's mean it. For behold, it is counted unto him. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise, also is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart, yea, and it profiteth him nothing. For God receiveth none such, Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. I'd like to bear just a little testimony. And I hope you can begin to understand just a little of what I mean. I hadn't been in the gospel long, and I was so very, very enthusiastic. Yes, I can realize now that maybe some of the chores around home didn't even get done, because my mind was upon the Lord, upon the gospel. I was wrapped up in it completely. I remember one particular day. Well, I had a car at the time. I guess it was laid up. My dad had a Model A coupe. And I started out to work. I had to go about 5 miles. Had to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, so the sun was up nice and bright, and I was traveling east. And that sun was so beautiful, and the sky was so clear. This is up in Michigan, and a good clear sky is not always the normal thing. And while I was traveling, I tried to, you see, I can't really sing. But I've asked the Lord in the past to let me be able to kind of sing along with some of the hymns, to sing a song some other way off. Any other song, I couldn't do anything. But I can sing a little bit with others. So this morning, headed for work, the Lord blessed me with His Spirit extensively. And I wanted to praise Him. And it came from the heart. Words came. Maybe they were sort of sing-song. I don't remember quite. No, it wasn't a tune. But I tried to put words together that would express my heart. But it was so full that I couldn't. I just couldn't express how deeply I felt. But the rest of that trip on, everything was so bright and the Spirit was with me to such an extent. Oh, it was beautiful. And there's been times in my life that when things were a little rough, I wished that the Lord would bless me to that extent. But I know, I realized that He was giving me a taste of what life could be like. But it wasn't always my due. That I had to work. Had to show that I was worthy of it. But in all my life, I would never, never forget the extent that the Lord blessed me. And my prayer is that each of us in the coming days, the coming time, can be blessed to such an extent. Yes, to such an extent that we're not conscious of the chores around that should be done. They'll get done. But if our minds are upon the Lord continuously, all will go well.
Thank you, Earl. Remember, this afternoon at 4 o'clock will be a choir practice. Would you turn to 409 for our closing song? 409. Would you please rise?
Thank you. Amen.